Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. This reading is, we call it the Transfiguration. In this passage, I think it's very easy to misunderstand what's going on. You know, it's easy for us to read this and kind of wonder, what is this about? We have this word, transfigured. To transfigure implies a changing in form from one to another, maybe a lesser form to a greater form. It implies that something was different when it started than what it is when it ends. In our own lives, we have transformative events. And this story is about the disciples being on top of this mountain. And we might have in our own lives what we call mountaintop experiences. These would be events that we would feel an unusual sense of freedom or connection. We might leave feeling changed somehow, even if very slightly. Now, these mountaintop events could be all kinds of things. It could be anything from maybe going on a retreat to a major life event. And these mountaintop experiences happen very suddenly, and they're very powerful and memorable. But you know, at the end of the day, the actual change that happens from these sorts of events is really very subtle. We walk away mostly the same people that we were before. But there are other kinds of transformative events that we have in our lives, things that can take place. Psychologists say that all people, every 7 to 10 years, change. And so that you are a different person than you were 10 years ago, and in 10 years from now, you will be a different person than you are today. These can happen from all sorts of reasons. These can be for personal growth, maturity, or adapting to a new environment. It might be that we're learning to be in a new relationship. Maybe someone is learning to be a parent for the first time. Or it could just be that we are learning to be more true, we're learning to our more true self. Now, these kinds of changes take much longer than those mountaintop experiences, and they're much more gradual. They don't quite have that drama. But they are often much longer lasting and deeper. You know, in our Christian life, it's one thing to have a big celebration of, say, a baptism or confirmation, but it's another thing to learn to grow into the Christian faith and life. And that's kind of how transformation really happens. So when we talk about transfiguration, and we think about changing from one form to another, something lesser to something greater, and then when we think about Jesus on that mountaintop with Peter, James, and John, that's not really what happened to Jesus. 19th century English poet William Blake said that if the doors of perception were cleansed, everything would appear to man as it is, infinite. What the disciples saw that day on that mountain was Jesus appeared to them differently than they had seen him before. What they were seeing was not a different person, but what they were seeing was Jesus' true form. They were seeing Jesus as a prophet. With him, he had Moses and Elijah, these two great prophets. You know, the first readers, and I've said this a few times as we've been talking through the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel was written to a Jewish audience, and they would have been familiar with scriptures up to there. And the first readers would have made this immediate connection. You have Moses on a mountaintop. We heard this story from Exodus today. There's a similar story with Elijah on Mount Sinai, on this mountaintop. And that connection would have been immediately made to these first readers. You have these two great prophets on the mountain, and now with them, a third, who is the greatest. Also, these disciples would have been seeing Jesus as divine. What they witnessed was Jesus changing to dazzling white and hearing that voice from above, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." This experience was a mountaintop experience for those disciples. Many decades later, Peter recalled in the epistle that he wrote that we also heard from today, "We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain." It was probably transformative for those three who were with him. These three who took something amazing from that experience. But they were also changed from having been with Jesus for all these years. And they were changed by the experience of when they would be with Jesus through his passion, death, and resurrection, and ministry after. This long-term transformation. But for Jesus, Jesus was who Jesus was. And this experience was probably, without a doubt, a meaningful experience to him. How could it not be? But before Jesus walked up that mountain and after Jesus walked down that mountain, Jesus was the Son of God. The angels sang of his glory at his birth. And God even said that he was his Son at the baptism. Jesus was always a prophet. Jesus was always a teacher. Jesus was always a miracle worker. What this passage gives us is a glimpse of Jesus' true, unmasked, real self. And I wonder how can we do this for ourselves? How can we show our true selves? In 3 days, we will be entering the holy season of Lent. And when we think about Lent, the first thing we often think about is, oh, what are you going to give up for Lent? You know, when I was in seminary, I had a hall conversation with my Old Testament professor. And I was talking to him and I said something around the fact that every year I usually try to give up caffeine for Lent. And this professor crossed his arms and he kind of looked at me and he said, "How exactly does that make you a better Christian?" You know what? He was right. In fact, my morning cup of joe was probably the only thing getting me through morning prayer. St. Irenaeus of Lyon was a second century theologian, and he said, "God's glory is humanity fully alive." Something we should think about in this holy season of Lent that's coming up is what keeps us from shining in the radiance of God's glory. What are those things that are holding us back from being truly and fully alive? What are those things that we need to be more free? These are important questions to ask in this season of penitence. Because those things that keep us from loving ourselves more fully are also those things that hold us back from loving God or from loving others and ultimately from loving God. And that itself is the very root of sin. As we recall Christ's transfiguration before the disciples, and as we enter this holy season, my question for you, friends, is this: how can we be transformed? How can you shed those things or take on those things that makes you more you? Because ultimately, God is calling us to be the most fully what God created us to be. And so how can we live out this call to transform our own lives to be in the image of Christ? Amen.